Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we have said numerous times, passingly, boy, the Giants are becoming the Jets. Boy, the Giants feel like the Jets. The Giants are the Jets. I really thought last night, sitting there watching Monday Night Football, this was your full moment. This was the coming out. That the Giants are the Jets. And I'll give you a few reasons why, to me, it is obvious as all hell. Number one, the Abdul Carter embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
One of your top players, one of your top picks from this past year, for the second time in 3 weeks, is sitting, embarrassing enough. You figured he learned the lesson 2 weeks ago, and then made more embarrassing by the fact that, oh, here he is to start the second quarter. So it was like, embarrassing in that this is the situation with Abdul Carter, and I think made worse by the fact that Mike Kafka didn't kind of make it harsher.
He didn't handle it.
Didn't handle it.
He just kind of slapped him on the wrist a little bit.
No doubt. Number two, the incessant talk about Jackson Dart. Fair or not. Oh, he's so dangerous. He's so reckless. In just constant, even when it wasn't there. I know that as a Jet fan. How much stuff is talked about us that isn't even true? And then the topper of all tops, and this is where I know you guys are going to push back on me. I think that last night's Young Hoku stumble, dirt kick, whatever you want to call it, I think it surpassed the butt fumble.
What?
Yeah, I think it's worse.
How?
Oh, thank you for asking.
You don't know how?
No, I don't.
Have you ever seen what happened? Have you ever seen a kicker, field goal kicker, go up to attempt a kick and basically trip all over himself? Have you ever seen that?
He said that he's done it before.
Okay. Have you ever seen it before?
I've never seen it before.
You played professional football, correct, Tiki?
I did.
You were in the NFL?
I was.
I heard that. Have you ever seen it?
No.
You've never seen that. Okay. Sean, have you ever seen that before? Young Hoku? Like,
I've seen it in college, never in the NFL.
Never in the NFL. Okay. Tommy, you've never seen it before?
I've never seen it in my life.
Thank you. So none of us have ever seen it before. And I would argue that that play was more important than a meaningless butt fumble in a game they were already getting blown out in. Mm. In this situation, if he kicks the field goal, it's 17-10. It's a one-score game. I think when you factor in the nature of never seeing it before, the fact that it was an important moment, the fact that it was embarrassing, and that's all anyone wanted to talk about the next day.
Yeah.
Can you believe the Young Hoku? We can't even nickname this thing. It's so bizarre.
Jackson Dart, they're just showing it on highlights. Jackson Dart turns around and is like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it is worse than the butt fumble. And the only thing stopping it from...
It's not the butt fumble.
Why?
Because because he hit somebody's ass. He ran into a massive offensive lineman's ass.
An ass is always funnier than a foot.
Exactly.
I'm putting the poll up. I don't care.
All right.
Which is more embarrassing? We have to nickname this play, though, because the butt fumble has a name.
I know, but it's hard to do this. It's hard to think of something that's relevant to stubbing your toe.
Yeah.
The toe stubber? I don't know. Like, what do you call
it's
this?
It's weird.
The divot taker?
The divot taker's good. The problem is, and you nailed it, you don't have the clean name like the butt fumble. I think there's a couple differences. First and foremost, Jet fans still get annoyed to this day when you bring up the butt fumble. I think most Giant fans laugh their ass off at this, where I don't think we're offended at all because Young Hoku is just so irrelevant to our franchise.
Right.
And also, and this is probably just shows the Giants are more of a disaster than that butt fumble team, The Younghoeku foot stub or whatever it is.
Foot stub. I'll try that
one. It's like the fourth most important storyline out of last night.
And it was the third most important special teams flub.
Right.
Seriously. They gave up a 94-yard punt return. They fumbled Olszewski. Hopefully you're feeling better. On a kickoff return. And then they stubbed his toe.
You got to remember, though, after the Jets lost to the Patriots that day, again, the Patriots, they only seemed to pop up.
Of course.
Of course. On Thanksgiving night, that wasn't the most important play. It became the most important play because history has defined it as the most important play. So what you're forgetting about is we are in the aftermaths of a loss.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, who knows how people view this? They very well may view the coup... foot stomp, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Foot stomp.
This is the biggest issue we have with this. We can't name it.
Yeah. Right. Butt fumble rolls off the tongue.
And you're right.
Toe stub.
The toe stub?
Toe stub.
I put the tweet out. Let me see what the poll results will be. I simply said, which is more embarrassing, the butt fumble or the coup foot stub?
Yeah. Better.
The foot stub? You like that one?
Okay. Right. Now, I guess my next question would be, is the question embarrassing or more memorable?
Embarrassing.
Okay.
No, the question's embarrassing.
Because there is a difference. I don't think anybody is going to bring up this play come August of next year.
No, because
the butt fumble lives for 50 years.
You can't put the clown music to it. Like, you can put the clown music to... Dun, dun,
dun, dun, you can't dun, put clown music to this guy not being able to kick the ball?
Think about Mark Sanchez and think about the clown music.
Yeah.
So he's running, he's got the ball, he turns left and... Dun, 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 boom, hits the floor. And they speed it up, and all of a sudden they pick it up, and they go back, and they didn't score a touchdown. Wait, did they score?
Yes,
they did. They scored a touchdown on that play. So it's like you can see the sped-up clown music. You can't do that with the foot stub. It's like it kind of just stops. The play stops at the end.
No, it doesn't stop because Jamie Gillen tries to get up.
Young Koo lining up. Here he goes.
But then
it doesn't work.
You do have poor Jamie Gillen getting up and trying to like run around and do something.
Yeah, he's trying to find somewhere to throw the football, but there was nowhere to throw the football.
He looked like he had never practiced a muffed snap in his life.
You throw it at the foot of your kicker who was running in the flat. That way the ball goes back to the 30 as opposed to where he was sacked at the 44.
That is true. Get up and throw the football away.
Yes.
100%. The other reason it feels jet-like, and Sean didn't even do it on purpose, but when Sean came into my office earlier today, the second thing he said, because of course the first thing he said is, are the rumors true? And I said, no comment. Hmm. But the second thing he said is, you know what makes last night worse? I said, what's that? He said, if we're going to suck and we're going to get embarrassed, can we do it at 1 o'clock on a Sunday?
Seeing ghosts.
I have said that for 20 years.
Yeah.
That let me be embarrassed in my own peace. It's still embarrassing. It's still pathetic. We still talk about it on The Fan. But it isn't that national embarrassment. The entire nation is watching Monday Night Football, and they're seeing all our foibles. And so that's jet-like.
Yeah.
You are us. We are you.
Hey, there's a slight difference, though. What I meant was simply, I hate staying up late and getting embarrassed. It has nothing to do with what the national media is saying. It's just more about my bedtime. Well, I'd rather that game end up wanting to get over it.
Imagine it being over at 11 and you're not getting home till 2.
Who did that? Oh, that was Tiki. That's man. Right.
That's fun.
That's brutal.
That's why they pay
it was brutal.
So they pay the big bucks. You're the pre and post game guy, man.
Look, I take my responsibility seriously to talk about this team post game, but it was exhausting.
No, this is Tiki Barber.
It was an exhausting game to talk about.
Tiki, I tell you, Jonathan Casillas, great night's sleep last night.
All right, we'll get into the Devin Williams signing coming up in the next 15 minutes. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Diego is in East Meadow. Hey, Diego.
Hey, boys.
What's up?
My point, Evan kind of just brought it up about where this franchise has gone and where they took it over. If you remember back in 2021 in the Joe Judge era, I thought that was our butt fumble when they decided to run QB sneaks with Mike Glennon out of their own end zone just to get out of the half. Fast forward that to now, that team at this point in the season had 4 wins as opposed to 2. So I don't know on like how in the world Joe Shane comes back, because he's taken us back to that side. And if you want a name for the play last night, it's being called the Charlie Brown or the Charlie Coup on Twitter.
Oh,
maybe that's how we'll remember
that. Oh, yes.
I like that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He gets the ball pulled out from under.
Yes, it is the Charlie Brown. Will that have
that, Lucy?
Yes, Lucy pulled the ball away from him. Mm. Like Charlie was about to kick it and Lucy took it away. Yeah.
Or, ugh. That's what he says, right?
Your sound effects are amazing, T. Yes.
That's what he says. My daughter says, she doesn't say, she says, ugh.
Because that's how they write it, right?
Yes.
That's how it's spelled
out. Speaks it like it's spelled, even though it's She goes, ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah. Stop saying it.
Fits perfectly. By the way, can you do a research project, Sean? I got it. Since you did all the research, cutting the Joe Shane audio from his press conference, I've been thinking about this for the last 25 minutes, and I really don't want to do this tonight. I need a break. A lot of Devin Williams talk last night, the Giant game.
You're the only one that did a podcast last night? You need a break? Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Yes, I think this is a perfect job for you. Is this the worst 25-game stretch in the history of the New York Football Giants?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They are 3-22 in their last 25 games.
It may be.
If you go back into the history of this franchise, and they've been around for a very long time, over 100 years, have they ever had a stretch of 25 games as bad as this? And I would argue off the top of my head that if it didn't happen in the last few years, it's never happened. Because even the 70s, which were very bad in Giant history, was never this bad. So I would venture to look that up. The Giants had a stretch when they went 1-12-1 in 1966, but the year after it, they were 7-7, and the year before that, they were 7-7. They did.
I think it's going to be hard pressed.
I think I got the answer.
Where?
In 1973, they went 2-11-1. They actually won their first game, so they went 1-11-1 to close the 1973 season. Okay. In 1974. They then began this, or they went 2-12. So what's 1-11 plus 2-12?
Yeah, 3-25.
There you go. So it's not the worst 25-game stretch or 26
straight. Well, I mean, it could be, depending on what happens next or after the bye week.
Oh, that's right. They could keep losing. Yeah.
Do you want good news on this stretch?
Yes.
You get to hear and see more of it starting with Hard Knocks tonight at 9 o'clock.
What's Hard Knocks tonight?
Hard Knocks inside the NFC East debuts tonight, and the Giants will be one of four teams that they cover starting tonight.
God, I forgot about that.
I hope it's just glancing. It's got to be the Eagles and the Cowboys primarily.
Well, okay, so
that's not interesting. Isn't the Giants more interesting?
Having been a pig and watched every Hard Knocks and lived these in-season ones last year when they did the division, the Browns were certainly featured the least of the four AFC North teams, but they still got coverage. Every episode, there was something dedicated to the Browns. Maybe we get Abdul-Carter in a sleeping pod.
Do you know when in the season it starts, like it's debuting tonight, but when they start recording
over
this season?
Over the last week. So they do like a quick B-roll for all the teams?
What do you mean
teams?
Over the last week? You mean last week in Giants land?
Like last week, the full camera crew showed up at all the NFC East things and they started filming last week.
So we're going to have Mike Kafka as the head coach?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to get Shane Bowen being fired.
Sometimes they do a quick flash forward to all the teams that what they did, but you don't really get anything that happened prior to last week.
Tiki, what are you more interested in, watching that or Knicks Celtics tonight?
Knicks Celtics.
Sean, what are you more interested in?
Zero interest in watching the Giants content right now.
Sean, Giants content or Knicks Celtics?
I'm stepping away from the Giants tonight.
Knicks Celtics, all right, two for two. Tommy, this is a tough one for you because you are a Giant fan, even though you're a diehard Knicks fan. What are you more interested in?
Knicks Celtics.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I need a break from the Giants.
Yeah. The Shane Presser, we'll do the podcast. Give me a couple days to get the Hard Knocks.
And it's likely going to just be the Jameis Winston show because he's funny. It's a positive thing. Like, what else are they going to show the Giants doing over the last week?
Well, I think what's always curious is how in-depth they go. Like, the Eagles are interesting. I mean, the Eagles are collapsing. I know it's not top of mind for us, but the Eagles have been epically collapsing.
If they lose a division to the Cowboys, that's a big deal.
Oh.
So it's going to be Cowboys-Eagles.
I am rooting so hard for that. I know you guys don't like the Cowboys. I get it. I'm not exactly a walking Cowboy fan. But I am talking to the football gods right now. I'm having a conversation with them. You've done nothing for me for the last 15 years, okay? You've done nothing. I'm going to get just one tiny little favor, small favor. Can you have the Eagles just continue to collapse and give the Dallas Cowboys the NFC East? That's all. And you could have them bounced out immediately in the playoffs. God knows that's what will happen.
Right.
Just give me, like, an Eagle collapse. Thank you very much.
I think that'd be great. However, I'd love the Eagles to collapse, the Cowboys be winning in Week 18, and Jackson Dart pulls an 0-4 Eli, beats the Cowboys, knocks them out of the playoffs, and that's how that ends.
So you want to send the Eagles to the playoffs?
Did we knock the Cowboys out of the playoffs?
You didn't, but it was still the last game of the year, and it was Eli's win. I want Dart to beat the Cowboys the last game.
Oh, I got you.
Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Just really quickly, I heard someone call it the field hole instead of field goal. I don't really like the Charlie Brown just because it would have been better if the ball wasn't there when he went to go kick it because what he did was more embarrassing, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Field hole. But really quickly.
Maybe. Maybe, because he did kind of dig a hole in the ground. At least it looked like it with the black spot popped up. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, the solid divot.
Right.
So, yeah, as far as Joe Shane goes, you know, one of the most frustrating things with him is that, you know, like, he may be a really great talent evaluator, and, like, some of these guys he's picking, whether it's, you know, Neighbors or you know, even Carter, might have the talent. Even Gonneau, when Gonneau is healthy, has the talent. But then it's the ancillary things. It's the things that, you know, it takes, like, a leader of men or someone who knows people to understand, to know that maybe Abdul-Carter has some personality issues, to be able to find a replacement for Gonneau. You see all around the league people lose their kickers, and whether it's the international guy you brought in who was an embarrassment or Young Wei Koo doing whatever the hell he did last night, there's never a solution that seems to work. And it just seems like maybe the talent evaluation part of it is something Joe Shane's good at, but after that, it's just as woe be gone as possible, and it's just there's no hope, it seems like.
I mean, there's obviously always hope. It just, in the real time, short time, it doesn't feel like it because this team feels bad and getting worse. But I would say earlier in this season, they were bad, but it didn't feel bad. They just weren't winning. Now it feels like they're bad and things are falling apart.
You said something a couple weeks ago about Evan Neal. I think it was specifically about Evan Neal, may have been about Jalin Hyatt as well, which is more than just the tape on the guy, but talking to the guy.
Yeah.
And getting a sense about that person.
Right.
Do you think there was any sense that Abdul-Carter, as athletic as he is, as impressive as his tape was, that maybe his attitude wasn't in the right place? I know we had fun with it. This guy had the balls to come in here and say, I want LT's number. And we all talked about it. Didn't make a huge deal of it. Little bit of a deal of it.
Right.
I mean, the
talk
ego.
About dodging a bullet.
Could you imagine?
Jeez.
And meanwhile, I went through the tapes. Sean was okay with it. And his attitude was, well, we took Flaherty's number off the wall. It's okay. Mm. Could you imagine if this guy was wearing LT's number right now?
Oh, it'd be terrible. But again, I still go back to once you do it once, I think you open up a can of worms.
But you also put a pressure on yourself that's unrealistic.
Yeah.
And so what I, just getting back to the question, do you think that you could have looked into this man's eyes and had a worry about the want to and the commitment?
No, I don't think so, because he speaks the right thing. He says the right things. So it's not about that. You saw it on tape from his college tape, that is. Not necessarily his NFL tape to date, but you saw it on his college tape. And he spoke well, and he said the right things, and he seemed like he cared about being great. It's just, it's not translating. It's a long season in the NFL. It's a different kind of grind. The speed is different. The scheme, your repertoire has to be different. And he hasn't figured it out yet.
The SNY Fan Choice Poll is sponsored by Dunkin', the official coffee of Evan and Tiki. Very simple question, especially on the heels of the news that came out last night about the Mets signing Devin Williams to a 3-year contract. Will the Mets re-sign Edwin Diaz, yes or no? To cast your vote, visit sny.tv/vote. We'll get back to your giant calls in a few minutes, but there was major baseball news last night that affects both of us. The Yankees had a free agent. The Mets took the free agent. Sean Morash publicly said during his Yankee offseason plan he wanted to keep Devin Williams. Now he's a Met. We get the Yankee reaction, the Met reaction, and your calls at 888-808-1019. That's right. Starting on Monday, 25 and 25. The committee every day will reveal the most memorable moments in New York sports from the year that was, which is unbelievable. That we are concluding another year. It's going to be 2026. Oh, my God. When I was a kid, that was like flying cars. That's what I thought when I was writing term papers in 1999. It was like, this is going to be flying cars in 2026. Meanwhile, what the hell do we have in 2026?
Right.
iPhones? Big deal.
You do have a computer on your wrist.
That is impressive. that is impressive.
If you have an Apple Watch or one of those other smartwatches.
The phone stuff is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
I'll give you that. Now, let's address Devin Williams. Last night, if you were consuming the New York Football Giants
good
game,
riddance. You can have them. We didn't want them anyway.
That's the interesting thing about the Devin Williams signing is that
you can justify it. You can adjust it. If he would have stayed with the Yankees, you would have been like, oh, good, man. We needed him as a setup guy. Bednar, we got a good 1-2 punch at the back end. We're good. But then if he leaves, you're just like, you sucked anyways. Get out of here. Well, which is not true.
Right.
Especially when it mattered down the stretch. But it's easy to say that about Devin Williams.
I think that, first of all, it's one of those conversations that has two parts, the Met part and the Yankee part. Let's start with the Yankee part, because you're right. I think it's easy to just jump to the Met side of things. Let's start with the Yankee side of things.
I think it's going to be divided. Because, I'm not the Yankee fan that Sean is, but I do root for the Yankees. And I'm going to miss him. Because I think he was going to develop into a really good reliever for us and be an alternative if you have to throw David Bednar in to the best part of the lineup in this eighth inning, whatever it may be. Like, he was a good alternative, and it just took him some time to figure out how to be good here.
I thought for the longest time Devin Williams couldn't pitch here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of Yankee fans felt the same way.
Yes.
And I believe the way his season concluded in September, the way he pitched in the playoffs until the bitter end when he came in with guys on base in Game 4 against Toronto,
right.
I think Devin Williams did actually a pretty good job of shattering that narrative that he couldn't handle New York. I also think because you guys acquired, as you mentioned, David Bednar, you felt, okay, if he comes back, his role is as a 7th or 8th inning guy.
Yeah.
And I made a comment about this a few months ago, and it may have sounded weird, but I remember when Devin Williams showed up to Knicks opening night. Aaron Judge was there, and who was the other Yankee that was there? Was Aaron Judge?
Oh. Was it Cam Schlittler?
Yes.
With him and
yes.
Devin?
Yes.
I think you're right. So it's Cam Schlittler, it's Aaron Judge, and it's Devin Williams. And obviously we're all making a big deal out of, Judge is there, Schlittler's there. And I remember saying to you, boy, I got to tell you, Teek, this guy loves New York. If this guy was who I thought he was, and a lot of us thought he was, he would have raced out of this town as soon as the season was over.
Right.
And so I think most of us eventually turned out to be wrong about Devin handling New York to the point, and this is the one thing I remember about our offseason plans. A few months ago here on Evan and Tiki, we all unveiled our Yankee offseason plan and our Met offseason plan. I couldn't get past something Sean said. Okay. A part of Sean's offseason plan was signing Devin Williams and giving him $20 million a year.
Wait, what did I say about Devin Williams?
I don't remember if you even included
him. I don't think I did either.
I don't think so.
He doesn't seem familiar, but did he come up in our free agent thing?
He did. He did. We'll reveal that answer maybe at another day.
All right, cool.
But I remember saying to Sean, you want this guy back? And he's like, yeah, I kind of trust him. And so I don't think you represent every Yankee fan by any stretch, but I think that you represented the part of Yankee fans who ended up warming up to him enough to where you were good with bringing him back, which would have sounded unfathomable in May.
I'm going to guess, Sean, a lot of that was because you look at Luke Weaver and you're like, all right, I can't trust him anymore. It's just there just weren't other options.
So, and this all ties together. First of all, your point about 20 mil, I completely misread what I thought because of a booming reliever market. I thought a lot of these guys would get paid a ton. I'm kind of shocked Devin Williams didn't get paid more.
Yeah.
But I'm an idiot, and that's fine.
He did pretty well, though.
He did well. But when I throw out $20 million a year over that night, I understand.
He's getting close to that.
I understand.
Right.
I understand. He didn't fully get that, but understand that.
Right.
There's two parts of my brain. Number one, I'm a big believer in how year-to-year major league relievers are. And knowing that Devin Williams had a bad year and got it together at the end gave me confidence that I do think Devin Williams will have a very good season next year, even with the New York Mets. Okay, that's not a Yankee Met thing. I was going to bank on that rebound. The other part of it is, man, that dude last year, how many gut punches, how many boos from the crowd, how much nonsense did you take? And it's pretty admirable that by the end of the year, he kept taking those licks, kept answering those questions, kept hearing those boos. And I was stunned as much as anybody that we got to October. He was as reliable as anybody not named David Bednar in that bullpen. And I think that says a lot about his mentality to go through what he went through last year in New York and stand above it in the end. Right. Man, there were a lot bigger, you know, losers on this team than Devin Williams by season's end. And that kind of showed me guts, and I wanted him back on that.
And I know a lot of jokes are going to be made about the Yankee Mets stuff. And there'll be some Met fans who take pride in taking a Yankee away, or Yankee fans who are going to mock the Mets for signing a former Yankee. What you just laid out is a part of the appeal of someone who played for the Yankees. Devin Williams has been New York battle-tested.
Yeah.
If the Mets signed Pete Fairbanks or Robert Suarez, two relievers I like, by the way, one of the questions I would bring up to you, or I would say it on the Rico, is, I don't know how he's going to handle New York. This guy's just experienced it. So one of the perks of taking a Yankee away isn't, ooh, I get to make fun of my brother. It's that guy just experienced the challenges of New York.
When you think about, when you say that, though, you say playing in New York, it's part because of the atmosphere here, the sports fandom here from both fan bases, but also the media pressure. So when you go from the Yankees to the Mets, does that lessen? Or is it? Is it more because of the up-and-coming, you know what I mean? Like the up-and-coming nature of the Mets.
A little bit. Here's the way I would frame the pressure of a Yankee and the pressure of a Met. If I'm trying my best to be an IBO here, I will be accused of not being. It's a little bit less, but it's still a lot. Like the Mets are not the Nets. They're not the Islanders.
No.
They're almost co-equal to the Yankees, but they're not the Yankees.
But I was saying it might be worse only because the now hugely inflated expectation. Like if you'd been here 5 years ago and you're on the Mets, it'd be like, okay, you know, good luck, man. Now it's like, dude, we need to win a championship.
Well, but you know what,
like,
I think
if you screw up, you're directly not helping us win a championship.
Well, there's two things about Devin Williams that are being affected here. Number one, and I think I will speak for 97% of Met fans. Very rarely do we all agree on something. Mm-hmm. Usually it's very split. I give you my opinion. It may not be the majority opinion. Most Met fans' opinions on the Devin Williams signing is, tell me if Edwin Diaz is coming back. If Edwin Diaz is coming back, we all love the move. Who wouldn't be enthralled by Devin Williams as an eighth inning guy, considering for 3 to 4 years he's been one of the best closers in baseball?
Right, not instead of.
If it's instead of, I think a lot of us are worried. A lot of us, and by the way, it's kind of unfair. Because between 2020 and 2024, Devin Williams was as good a closer as anybody in baseball.
Yeah.
It was negatively affected by what was not a great year for the Yankees last year, even if some of the underlying numbers tell you that he was a little unlucky. It doesn't matter. We still saw him pitch to a 5 ERA, right? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I think the opinion on Devin Williams has been affected twofold. Number one, I don't think we appreciate how good he was because of what he did last year. And B, is he replacing Edwin Diaz or not? If he's replacing Edwin Diaz, I raise my hand and tell you, I'm worried. If he's not, and it's in conjunction with Edwin Diaz,
let's go. We got ourselves a bullpen. Is that not
a fair view of the
situation?
That feels right, because that's what the Yankees were feeling.
Yep.
It's not like when he was instead of David Bednar, because David Bednar just wasn't here yet, it was like, oh, we're in trouble, man. What the hell are we doing with the closer? Luke Weaver isn't evolving into, like, what are we doing? And all of a sudden, he became the compliment to David Bednar. Is like, all right, yeah, let's go.
Right.
Your chest is puffed out. We don't have to worry about the back end of our bullpen anymore, because now he's coming to his own, and David Bednar is the guy. So it's the same exact feeling, to be honest with you.
He's a weapon. He's not a closer.
Yes.
And I think if you absorb it that way, you're pumped up if you're a Met fan.
Now, here's where we are underrating Devin Williams. We all are. I'm a part of it, too, because I can't ignore the fact that I watched the Yankees last year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a part of what we do around here. In the 5 years, parts of five, six seasons he was in Milwaukee, not only did he save a grand total of 68 games, you know what his ERA was?
No, what?
Just guess. Career ERA of Devin Williams before he became a New York Yankee.
Before, I'm going to say it was 220.
220, very good. It's a good guess. But you're not close.
What was it?
1.83.
Wow.
I think we forget how good he was.
400 points off, man. That's close.
That's a half a run off, dude.
That's true, but whatever.
That's close.
It's not like it was egregious. It's not like I said 3.8.
The point is, we of all, Yankee fans, Met fans, I'm in this group too, I admit it, we underrate him because last year was mediocre. Because
when he was ours, we didn't like what we saw.
He wasn't the dominant pitcher he was in Milwaukee.
You're right. That's because Pete ruined him.
Yeah, Pete Alonso ruined him. That's right. So I think that this is another David Stearns move, much like the Marcus Semien trade, where it's all about what happens next before we really have a strong view on it. You keep Edwin Diaz, I think it's 98% approval rating. If they lose Edwin Diaz, and this is the replacement, dare I say, I think the numbers are far less.
First of all, Evan, I'm on your side of bringing back Diaz, but let me give you a third option.
What's the third
option? What about the combination of Robert Suarez and Devin Williams? Does that equal Edwin Diaz?
So I believe that if they lose Edwin Diaz, that's what's going to happen. I do. Mm. I do. I think if they lose Edwin Diaz, they will sign another top-line reliever. I don't know if it's Robert Suarez. It may be Pete Fairbanks.
Right.
It may be someone else.
So two guys are replacing Edwin. It's not Devin Williams replacing Edwin Diaz. It's two closers replacing Edwin.
No, you mean and Edwin and then someone else.
No, meaning if Edwin Diaz...
So two more?
No, if Edwin Diaz leaves...
Yeah, so two more are replacing him.
No, Devin Williams already.
Devin is one of them. Oh,
and then one more guy, either Suarez or Fairbanks.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah,
two for one.
That's what I agree would happen. Do I want that? No, because the worry you have about Robert Suarez and even Devin Williams in the role of being the closer is I don't think they're Edwin Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And Edwin Diaz proved over the last few years, even with his downs, and trust me, he had plenty of downs. I was running this guy out of town back in 2019. He has proven such a reliability that, no, I don't prefer that. But I do think that's what would happen. I think the Mets are trying to bring Edwin Diaz back. I think that he's asking for a fifth year. The Mets don't want to give him a fifth year. Will the Dodgers give him a fifth year? Will the Blue Jays? I have no idea. I think there's a world in which he's gone. There's a world in which he stays. But the Mets are in a much better place if he stays. That's where we're at. But the move last night was a good move.
Mm.
It's just all dependent on what happens next. That's really what it comes down to. Oh, Tommy. Should I do it now or should I do it later?
Do it later.
Do what?
Always.
Should I do it now or should I do it later?
Always do it now.
Okay.
Do it next year.
Tommy.
What?
I have some clips I'd like to play.
Uh-oh.
And here's what's kind of challenging. Tommy controls the clips. So I have to ask him nicely to play a certain clip. So I have a few Tommy Lugauer clips from this past season that I would like to play. And, of course, have Tommy have a fair chance to respond. You can choose which one you want to play. You want to play the Devin Williams' finish clip or the Pete Alonso broke Devin Williams clip. It's your call. Go ahead.
We all know Pete Alonso broke him, whether it's tipping his pitches or whatever the case may be. He can't handle New York. He can't handle the big moment.
He can't handle New York. He can't handle the big moment. Okay, give me one more Tommy Lugauer clip from this past year.
Devin Williams, as we know it, is finished.
Whoa.
With the Yankees.
Wow.
You want to kind of defend yourself? Because those are your words.
Definitely.
Go ahead.
I think it's, to take Sean's point and take it a step further, I think it's admirable that Devin Williams didn't run from New York. Like, he could have easily said he's got me screaming on the radio. How many Yankee fans? Mm. Other than Anthony Volpe, Devin Williams was public enemy number one. He could have went back to Milwaukee, went to a mid-market team. He said, you know what? I'm going to stick around here because I am tougher than people are suggesting. I can handle New York. And if Edwin Diaz does leave, I don't want him to, I could be the closer of the Mets. I can handle the big stage. So to me, that shows a guy that can handle New York because he didn't run away from New York. You're smiling. I thought that was a great answer.
He ran from New York. He went to Queens. He didn't really go to New York.
Well, who knows where he stayed in his living.
I know we talk about the Mets here because we're New York sports fans, but they're not like, when you think of New York, you think of the Yankees and the pressure comes with it.
Okay, then there's no pressure coming with the Mets. There's zero.
They're
bananas. There's no pressure with the Mets?
I mean,
there's a ton of pressure.
The Savannah Bananas
win more. If we learn anything from Juan Soto, the Yankee fans will have deranged syndrome with Devin Williams, and they'll be more focused on his appearances than they will David Bednar. Am I wrong?
Well, here's where you're wrong.
I don't know if the Yankees really claim them. They don't claim them, really.
But here's why, Tiki. Devin Williams was great before Evan laid it out. He was great before he got to the Yankees, and then he wasn't great with them. So how dare he be great with another team? The Yankee fan wants Devin Williams to be our problem. They want us to go through the same thing that they went through with Devin Williams. If he thrives, it will bother them.
Can you do me one more favor?
Yeah.
Can you play those clips one more time? I need to hear it again.
There's a third one. Do you want
that? Oh, there's a third one I forgot about?
Fired up.
Go ahead. Devin Williams is worse than Ryan Helsley?
1,000%. 1,000. We went higher than 100. I didn't realize there was higher than 100. 1,000%.
Can you play those three clips again? The audience needs to hear it as we judge if Tommy is a flip-flopper or if Tommy evolved with Devin Williams. Go ahead.
We all know Pete Alonso broke him, whether it's tipping his pitches or whatever the case may be. He can't handle New York. He can't handle the big moment. Devin Williams, as we know it, is finished.
That's the t-shirt one.
Devin Williams is worse than Ryan Helsley?
1,000%.
Wow. Wow.
This is rough.
Yeah. It's crazy that Pete Alonso broke him and only one of those guys is a Met right now.
I mean, it's possible.
Thank God he's a Oriole Helsley.
Yeah. Almost forgot about that. Ryan Helsley's an Oriole, ladies and gentlemen. That's a tough one to come back from, Tommy.
Mm. Put it on a t-shirt then. What do you mean it's a tough one to come back from?
We don't want to outlay the expense.
No.
Yeah. How many times
going to care?
How many t-shirts does one need with this takes, though?
Yeah. I think that the Jalen Brunson one was unique enough. Williams sucks. Right. Like, everyone was saying it.
Right. When he established himself as a star, then we'll get the t-shirt made.
All right.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah. So if everyone was saying it, then why am I the one on trial here? And I already told you
Because you're the one who gave your opinion that you love the move.
Right. I do love the move.
Because you're a generational talent, Tommy.
Exactly.
That's why.
If you had come on and said, look, while I'm positive, Tommy, I hate this move. I think the guy's broken. I think the guy stinks. I don't want him here. I wouldn't even play the clips. I'd say, okay, that's Tommy's opinion. But because you completely contradicted yourself, I had to play the clips and see what's evolved. And I don't know what really has evolved because those comments that you made, the Ryan Helsley, Devin Williams, Lugash debate series, which we had, was in the middle of September. It wasn't in July. Obviously, he was traded for in late July. You did it, like, recently. Devin Williams has barely pitched since that debate series. And you said he's broken, and he's finished, and he can't handle New York. And now you like the move. It's just weird.
Evan, it's been a common phrase that's been used today, and I'll use it here. No comment. I have no comment. I've already said what I have to say. I have no further comments about it.
All right. Well, we hold everybody accountable here. So if you have clips of me, Tiki, or Sean saying things about Devin Williams, you can certainly play it back for us. But you have to find it and then send it to us because that's how it works. Right. I can't find everything. Oh, you know what I did find?
What's that?
The Jackson Dart stat predictions. We'll get to that in a couple minutes because we did make our predictions on how often he'd get the football and run it. And we'll see who was the winner of that.
You're exhausted.
What is that?
Now we got another thing we got to play back.
Would you like to take a vacation and not walk?
Yeah, we're doing a radio show here. Would you prefer dead air, perhaps, as the second option?
Why did we make these predictions now?
Yesterday.
I don't remember making a stat prediction.
How do you not remember it? It was at the end of the show.
I mean, my God.
When we get to 6 o'clock, I think, Sean.
Yeah. You know what? Screw it. We're not going to wait. We're going to do it right now.
I didn't pull it.
I pulled it. Just like I do everything else around
Dummy,
here.
Dummy, you think we're going to play audio that Evan and I haven't set up right before the show? No, like we're flying blind here?
Hand up.
Why don't you go take a vacation?
Hand up. Maybe I will be soon. Hand up. You usually ask
No comment.
You usually ask me to pull these stat predictions. I thought I missed it.
No, you didn't. Mm. I pulled the stat predictions yesterday on the program and talking about the way the Giants handled Jackson Dart. I said, forget his, you know, passing stats. Forget that. How often is he going to run the football?
Sean is fine. He just thought he was in trouble. Right,
that was my way of trying to tell you I didn't pull it. I'm sorry. I apologize for jumping down your throat. You got it.
I mean, you were basically saying, why are you continuing to do a radio show? Just take phone calls. Just be a phone operator. Don't try to do creative things. That's what he basically said to us.
I just
told you. He thought he didn't do something he was supposed to do.
When
he realized that he wasn't supposed to do anything, he's fine. I remember that. Let's go.
When I forget to do something, I put blame on others.
All right, fair enough. Yesterday, Jackson Dart had 4 carries for 20 yards. Those were his official stats. Let's see what we all said. Let's go to our Evan and Tiki prediction desk. Tommy, who should we hear from first?
Let's start with the guy who forgot we did this in the first place, Sean Marash.
4 carries, 72 yards and a touchdown.
72?
I think he's going to break off a crazy long run. And at the very end of it, get close to the red zone enough, he's going to end up ending this thing with a slide, getting up laughing, and we're going to go, what the hell happened? I think it's a crazy long run out of him tonight.
Well, I mean, he's right about the carries. 4 carries for Jackson Dart. He said 4. He was off by 52 yards.
Yeah.
So
close.
Just a little bit.
A little bit off. Who else we got?
Let's go with Lugie next. 6 carries for 40 yards.
Not bad. I mean, you're double because he went for 20 yards. So a little bit off, but closer than Sean. Who's next?
Tiki Barber.
7 carries, 41 yards and a touchdown.
Similar to you, Tommy, just a little bit too high. What about me? What'd I say? I'm going 2 carries, 11 yards, 0 touchdowns.
Oh, that's an easy win for me.
I was within 9 yards. So, I win.
Yeah, you suck.
Good job pulling that out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You would have forgot if he had 110 yards.
I would have never forgotten. But you guys keep saying that to me. Every time we do long-term, short-term, whatever term predictions, I always come ready to play, man. Mm-hmm. What's the point? I've always said this. What's the point of making predictions if you're not going to, like, collect?
Yeah, especially you're not going to follow up on them.
Yeah.
You kind of have to. I hear you.
You just throw it into the ether and it just goes away.
That's why we appreciate you, Evan.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's go to Angel in the Bronx. What's up, Angel?
Hey, Angel.
Hey, boyos. How we doing today?
All's well, man.
So I have to agree with Evan regarding this Devin Williams thing. As a Mets fan, I'm really not going to love the move until Diaz comes back. If he comes back, then valid. It's a great way to end the game. Now, Suarez, I don't know. I don't really like Suarez. He's getting a bit too old, isn't he? Like 35, 36 or something like that.
He is up there in age. Yep.
And then you have to deal with the fact that he's never played in a bigger market than San Diego. Yep. Give me a break.
Well, but Angel, remember this. Just because you haven't done it doesn't mean you can't do it. You got to keep that in mind. Devin Williams never pitched in New York until he was traded to New York. I think we all agree that while Devin Williams is good and Robert Suarez is good and Pete Fairbanks is good, the best option is Edwin Diaz. Because the question you got to ask yourself is, can you envision winning a world championship and getting 5 or 6 huge clutch saves against really good lineups, against really good teams in October? Can you picture player A doing it? Can you picture player B doing it? And even though Edwin Diaz will give us a heart attack in the process, I can picture Edwin Diaz doing it. He is the greatest closer in Mets history in my lifetime. I'm going to exclude Tug McGraw because I didn't see him, and even Jesse Orozco. And no offense to John Franco. You know I love you, Johnny. But Armando Benitez, John Franco, Billy Wagner, Armando Benitez, you can take your freaking pick. There is not a guy I trust more than Edwin Diaz. So we all agree we should want to bring him back.
So he passes the test. Do you see him closing out 5 games in the World Series?
Yes.
Devin Williams.
I think if this question was asked to me a year ago before he pitched with the Yankees, I would be more confident in saying yes. But I admit, like, I'm being honest that I'm hurt by what I saw, even if I think he's better than what
you just don't trust it anymore. So now you need to see it consistently again. Otherwise, you're just not going to trust it. It's as simple as that.
Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey. Hey, Gabe.
What up, Gabe?
Hey, thanks so much for taking the call. So first on the Devin Williams move, I just wanted to say, I am totally fine with it from a Yankees fan perspective because I don't think that they were ever going to spend more than $10 million a year on a relief pitcher. Like, I don't think that's where they're trying to spend in the offseason. So I'm cool with it. I think that they're going to go way of trade to get a relief pitcher. And I wanted to get your thoughts on these 4 moves that the Yankees should make in the offseason.
All right.
So one, sign Cody Bellinger, 6 years, $165 million, shakes out to like $28 million a year. Seems like the hang up right now is on the number of years. I think that's the money that he's going to end up landing. So there you go, $28 million a year on the payroll. Two, trade, was it Spencer Jones and Carlos Lagrange to the Miami Marlins for Sandy Alcantara and Ronnie Enriquez?
Yeah, that seems like that's going to happen because you start to hear these two things at the same time.
Yeah.
Alcantara available, and then one of the kids is likely getting moved.
And Enriquez is a nice under the radar one because that's your big bullpen arm.
And that's like, what, $800,000 on the payroll?
Oh,
it's nothing. The third move, I'd say, signed Ahmed Rosario to a one-year, $3 million contract, whatever. He's a utility player. He's a right-handed bat. They're going to be lefty-heavy. Makes a lot of sense.
Right.
The fourth move that I would make, that would be the huge blockbuster deal. Trade Will Warren, Jose Caballero, and maybe another infield prospect to the Texas Rangers for Cody Seager for the bulk of his contract, have the Rangers eat $55 million, $15 million in that first year, and then $8 million the rest of the 5 years. So $55 million total that they're going to be eating on the contract. The reason why it's significant is the Yankees over the past 5 years have increased their payroll 7.5% year over year on average. If they were to do that again, that would have them netting a $343 million payroll. Luxury tax payroll. They're at 283 right now, so they've got 60 wiggle room in that hypothetical scenario. Yep. So that would still leave them $3 million to spend on maybe a journeyman kind of arm guy or something along those lines. Wouldn't that drastically improve their team compared to where they stand right now?
The Yankee team you just built is awesome.
And you keep most of your pitching.
Yeah, I mean, you've added to it by getting Sandy Alcantara. You've improved your bullpen with Enriquez. You brought Cody Bellinger back. I mean, you got Corey Seager.
So, I mean, you get rid of.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will Warren, but does that matter if you have coal-free Schlittler?
And you're just adding Sandy Alcantara.
You almost have too much pitching.
Well, you never have too much pitching.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the question I would ask, because you threw out a lot there. Let me stick with Corey Seager.
I have two worries about Corey Seager. Number one, I'm skeptical the Texas Rangers are going to move him. Mm-hmm. They just made the Nimmo Simeon trade, and one of the appeals that Brandon Nimmo said was, we're trying to win. I wasn't going to approve a trade unless they're really trying to win. Yeah. So even though there's been reports about Texas lowering their payroll, which they kind of did with this trade, at least in the short term, because Nimmo makes less than Simeon, are they dumping Corey Seager? Are they going to dump a guy who was an World Series MVP in the prime of his career? Probably not. But if they do trade him, I love adding Corey Seager. We talked about him months ago. What I would do is I'd make him my shortstop, and then eventually, a few years down the road, he'll shift over to third base and be my third baseman. But he's also always hurt. And so you got to ask yourself, if you're absorbing a contract like that for a guy who's going to be 32 years old, 33, 34, 35, is that health going to get better?
Yeah.
Or is it going to get worse?
I mean, I look at his injuries because you just brought it up. It's appendix, whatever. Forget that one. Hamstrings, hip, thumb, hamstring. Like, it's a lot of soft tissue stuff. That worries you a little bit because it goes back for almost half a decade.
And he's only getting older.
Yeah, he's 31.
He's going to be 32 years old in April. So for the majority of next season, he's 32 years old. And I know that our last call did a great job breaking down all the money. Are they going to spend on Cody Bellinger and absorbing Corey Seager's contract and the last 2 years of Sandy Alcantara?
Didn't he say that the Rangers needed to take parts of that?
Well, I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, of course, because why would the Rangers, they want to get rid of him? The answer is probably no. Not at least not bad enough to take money that he still owes.
Because he's still a productive player.
Yes.
Problem is he's got a contract that's very long, he makes a lot of money, and he's injury prone. Let's go to Ron in Jersey City. Hey, Ron.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I wanted to talk about the Devin Williams thing, but I wanted to say I've been a Giants fan since 73, so I've been through the downs, the ups, the downs, the ups, and now the downs. So I'm ready for the ups. Now, the Devin Williams thing is I like the signing, but I don't like it because I would have rather them sign Diaz than get Williams, because this is this David Stearns being this Milwaukee Brewer cheap thing is making me nervous, because
he just gave $50 million to Devin Williams. How's that cheap?
He's just, well, I think what Ron was going to say before you rudely cut him off.
I had to.
Was that he gave $50 million to Devin Williams. Therefore, he's not going to give whatever to Edwin Diaz.
They are trying to re-sign Edwin Diaz.
Of course
they
are.
I'm telling you this right now. And here's the issue with the MLB offseason. And I'm going to relate it to something else that you really need to chew on. All right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't an offseason where everyone signs at the same time. Like, when we did our offseason plans, it's easy. Oh, I'd rather have this guy, that guy, this guy. My backup plan is that guy. Everyone signs at a different point. If Devin Williams is ready to sign last night and Edwin Diaz is still searching for a five-year deal, you can't treat Devin Williams like a backup plan. You can't do it.
Right.
Now, let me walk you down a road that I don't know what your opinion is. The Mets need a big bat, right? Whether it's keeping Pete Alonso or it's replacing Pete Alonso, they need a big bat. If they lose Pete Alonso, they have to replace him. There's actually a pretty good amount of big bats out there.
Right, Schwarber's one.
Kyle Schwarber is one. Murakami is one. Mm-hmm. Kyle Tucker is one. He's different, but one. Like, a lot, you got a lot of options. If they don't prefer Pete Alonso, but they prefer Kyle Schwarber, or they prefer Kyle Tucker, they're going to go after the player before Pete Alonso decides, or he gets the offer he wants. That could eliminate Pete Alonso from being a Met. It's not like all time is linear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so instead of doing both things at the same time, trying to sign both, and whichever one gets first done, it's who's our priority?
Right.
And so the priority, you're saying, is not Pete.
Well, here's what I would ask you. And let's use Schwarber and Alonso, because I think they're very comparable players in terms of them being most of the time DHs. And I think their contracts are going to be similar, and they're power hitters.
Yeah, but Pete's not really most of the time DH.
He's about to be, Teague. He's about to be.
He's about to be if he stays with the Mets.
No, he's about to be wherever he goes. He's not going to be a full-time DH like Schwarber, but he's going to DH a lot more than he ever has. That's where things are heading for Pete Alonso. So if you take what I'm saying at face value and think that's going to happen, they are very similar in terms of being power hitters whose ages are similar. Kyle's a few years older. They're similar. Right. Do you have a preference between the two of them?
For the Mets?
Yeah.
It's Pete. Pete. Just because of him being Pete.
And the ability to play first base, even if it's only 80 times a year?
Yeah, even if it's not. It's Pete. He's a lifelong Met.
By the way,
you want him to be.
I agree with you. I think it's close because I think Schwarber's a wonderful player, but if you gave me the choice, it's Pete Alonso.
And he's younger.
Do you have a preference? And
especially if they're both going to get 6 year, whatever.
They're not getting 6 years.
But that's what they're asking for.
Right, right.
But if you're, let's just call him equivalent, whatever the length of the deal is, Pete's the better option because he's 2 years younger.
I agree with you. Do you have a preference between the two?
I do. Pete Alonso is my preference.
All right. I agree with you, so we're all in unison on this.
Mm-hmm.
If Kyle Schwarber is the backup plan, and I think we'd admit that's a pretty good backup plan in terms of replacing Pete's
back. I would say it's a great backup plan.
It's a great backup plan. What if I told you Kyle Schwarber's signing next week? How do you handle your backup plan when your backup plan may be gone before your front plan? And I do want to preface this before you guys
answer.
Someone
else is more aggressive on him?
It's because his market is developing more.
Yeah, right.
The other thing you have to keep in mind, and I'm begging you, Tommy, because I have a feeling you're going to argue with me, just trust me. Would you at least just trust me? I'm going to put my hand out like Aladdin. Just trust me?
I will trust you, and you're right. We are going to argue because I'm going to suggest something that that's going to annoy you.
It's not suggesting because I'm not even arguing that. They are not signing both players. They're not.
I was going to just suggest if they could
sign. Tommy, I'm not against that. I'm telling you, they won't. Okay? So do you believe me? They will not sign both Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber. It's going to be one or the other.
I believe you.
You believe me?
Yeah.
Trust me. Okay. Just go with that because I'm not even arguing.
Wait, would that mean I'm Jasmine?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm sitting on the magic carpet ride.
I get it, yeah.
And
you and I are about to go on a carpet ride together as Aladdin and Jasmine.
Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, A Whole New World.
Trust me.
I trust you.
That's
You're not getting any kissy-kissy woo-woo from me either, by the way.
That's how she realized Aladdin was Aladdin. Because remember, he was just the guy.
He was a poor boy. He was a pauper.
Yes.
When did this first happen?
This happened in the Middle East somewhere.
No.
Steve Cohen, the genie?
Alibaba.
No, Agrabah.
Agrabah, right. And so he was riffraff.
Oh, that's right. When they were in the slums, he said, do you trust me?
Yeah, because they had to jump off the roof because they were being chased by the Gestapo.
And then he pretended to be Prince Ali of Ali of Bagua.
Yeah. Correct, because he got his wish.
Ali.
And what gave it away to Jasmine, great song of all time.
It is a great song.
At the genuflect, down on one knee. That's why I'm making an Aladdin reference. When he said, trust me, that's when Jasmine was like, oh my God, this is the same guy who was the riffraff from like a week ago. Anyhow, you trust me?
I do.
Okay. Mm. They're not signing both players. They're going to pick one or the other. If a Kyle Schwarber is going to sign first, but he's your best backup plan, what do? Are you giving up on your backup plan? You see what I'm saying? The timing isn't unit. It's not connected.
Yeah, no, I get it completely. Then don't you have to be heavily in now on Pete Alonso? That now all of... Who is his agent?
Scott Kyle Schwarber's?
Yes.
I don't know that one.
It's not the same.
No, I don't think he's a Boris guy, no.
Okay. So then it's not going to be manipulated from the agent side. That's a good thing.
You're right, but it's also a difficult thing. And it relates to our last caller saying, I would have preferred to sign this guy first. You can't always do that. And so the Mets may have to make a gamble. If they look at Alonso's market and say, you know what? He is sticking on 6 years. Someone's going to give it to him. Screw it. Let's just go get Kyle Schwarber. If they sign Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso's not coming back.
Right.
He's not walking through that door. And we could all argue about it and debate it and say, oh, this is better. This is worse. This is that. The locker room. Whatever you want to come up with. But it's one or the other, and their time isn't connected.
Is Evan Roberts' brain reporting that the Mets are going to sign Kyle Schwarber within the next couple weeks because the Mets feel like Schwarber will be off the market soon, and Pete Alonso is going to pull the same act he pulled last year, which was, you know, let it delay for a while, and they don't want to lose out on both guys. And they'll put a run prevention guy at first base for defense. Is that what your brain is reporting?
No comment. Your Sports IQ Trivia is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. How many official blown saves did Devin Williams have in 2025? Right now, we'll take caller number 9 at 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326 to answer your Sports IQ Trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your Sports IQ Trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and Cadillac's family of EVs, including the all-electric Lyriq. We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019. And why did Mike Kafka say my decision 175 times in his post-game press conference. We'll explore as we take it right up until 6:30. And I do remind you, FanDuel is clearly the number one sportsbook app for same-game parlays. From points and rebounds to threes and assists, FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks in a same-game parlay or track every stat live, all in an easy-to-use app. And right now is the perfect time to join. New customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/Evan and sign up today. FanDuel.com/Evan. FanDuel is the official sports betting partner of the NBA. We love the app around here. It's safe and secure. And when you win, you get paid instantly. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of WFAN. 21 and over, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by Flag and Anthem. Real clothes for real life.
We're your official station to talk Yankees and Mets. WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
I'm Bill Ryder with an Odyssey Sports Minute. The New England Patriots are exactly what their record says they are. At 11-2, they're the best team in the AFC. And under Mike Vrabel, they've been transformed, having gone from one of the most incompetent offenses last year to one of the seven best in almost every measurable category. Their defense, too, has had an utter turnaround, because Vrabel is a stone-cold winner. With Drake May playing well in year two and that defense getting better and better, watch out for New England. I'm Bill Ryder.
This is the story of the one. As an HVAC technician, he and his digital multimeter are in high demand. So when a noisy office HVAC turns out to be a failing blower motor, he doesn't break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product information, he selects the product he needs to keep everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/play.
Think Verizon, the best 5G network, is expensive? No, acabar. Bring in a bill from AT&T or T-Mobile to a Verizon store today and we'll give you a better deal. ¿Y ahora? ¿Qué vas a hacer with all those unwanted bills? Pues, how about a full-scale origami version of the Statue of Liberty? Fuera de broma, bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to your local Verizon store in New York City today and we'll give you a better deal for you and tu familia. Runs based on Root Metrics Root Score report dated 1H2025. Your results may vary. Requires post-pay consumer mobile bill from T-Mobile or AT&T.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.